Memorial Day. Originally called Decoration Day, is a day of remembrance for those who have died in the service of the United States of America. It is a day not to be confused with Veterans Day, which celebrates the service of all U.S. military veterans. Memorial Day was born out of the Civil War and a desire to honor our dead. It was officially proclaimed on the 5th of May, 1868, by General John Logan, National Commander of the Grand Army of the Republic, proclaimed in his General Order No. 11, the 30th day of May, 1868, is designated for the purpose of strewing with flowers or otherwise decorating the graves of comrades who died in defense of their country during the late rebellion, and whose bodies now lie in almost every city, village, and hamlet, churchyard in the land. The date of Decoration Day, as he called it, was chosen because it wasn't the anniversary of any particular battle. On the first Decoration Day, General James Garfield made a speech at Arlington National Cemetery, and 5,000 participants decorated the graves, and of 20,000 Union and Confederate soldiers buried there. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, the most renowned American poet of his day, helped to found the Atlantic Magazine in 1857. In the solemn hymn-like strands, his poem, Decoration Day, which first circulated in June 1882, pays tribute to what was then a new form of civil observance.
Sleep, comrades, sleep, and rest on this field of grounded arms, where foes no more molest, nor century-shot alarms. Ye have slept on the ground before, and started to your feet at the cannon's sudden roar, or the drum's redoubling beat. But in this camp of death, no sound your slumber breaks. Here is no fevered breath, no wound that bleeds or aches. All is repose and peace. Untrampled lies the sod. The shouts of battle cease. It is the truce of God. Rest, comrades, rest and sleep. The thoughts of men shall be as sentinels to keep your rest from danger free. Your silent tents of green we deck with fragrant flowers. Yours has the suffering been, the memory shall be ours.
Mary Edward Walker, contract acting assistant surgeon, a civilian, United States Army. Born November 26, 1832 in New York, Mary Edwards Walker is one of our nation's 1.8 million women veterans, was the only woman to earn the Medal of Honor for her service during the Civil War, to include 4 months as a prisoner of war in 1864. During World War II, a Liberty ship, the SS Mary Walker, was named in her honor.
On November 11, 1865, President Andrew Johnson signed a bill to award Dr. Walker the Medal of Honor, which reads in part, "Whereas it appears from official reports that Dr. Mary E. Walker, a graduate of medicine, has rendered valuable service to the government, and her efforts have been earnest and untiring in a variety of ways, and that she was assigned to duty and served as an assistant surgeon in charge of female prisoners at Louisville, Kentucky, upon the recommendation of Major General Sherman and Thomas, and faithfully served as a contract surgeon in the service of the United States and has devoted herself with much patriotic zeal to the sick and wounded soldiers, both in the fields and hospitals, to the detriment of her own health, and has also endured hardships as a prisoner of war for 4 months in a southern prison while acting as a contract surgeon. And by reason of her not being a commissioned officer in the military service, a brevet or honorary rank cannot, under existing laws, be conferred upon her. And whereas, in the opinion of the President, an honorable recognition of her services and sufferings should be made, it is ordered that a testimonial thereof shall be hereby made and given to the said Dr. Mary E. Walker, and that the usual Medal of Honor for meritorious services be given to her. Since the Mary E. Walker Medal of Honor, her legacy continues today in the form of the Mary E. Walker Volunteer Medal of Distinguished Service.
If you are able, you may stand when your particular patriotic service song is played. We begin with the United States Army and our own Piedmont citizen, Staff Sergeant Joe Ronnie Hooper.
For conspicuous gallantry and intrepidity in action at the risk of his life, above and beyond the call of duty, Sergeant Hooper, U.S. Army, distinguished himself while serving as squad leader with Company D. Company D was assaulting a heavily defended enemy position along a riverbank when it encountered a withering hail of fire from rockets, machine guns, and automatic weapons. Sergeant Hooper rallied several men and stormed across the river, overrunning several bunkers on the opposite shore. Thus inspired, the rest of the company moved to attack. With utter disregard for his own safety, he moved out under the intense fire again and pulled back the wounded, moving them to safety. During this act, Sergeant Hooper was seriously wounded, but he refused medical aid and returned to his men. He single-handedly stormed 3 enemy bunkers, destroying them with hand grenade and rifle fire, and shot 2 enemy soldiers who had attacked and wounded the chaplain. His initial body wound had been compounded by grenade fragments. Yet despite the multiple wounds and loss of blood, he continued to lead his men against the intense enemy fire. He raced across an open field still under enemy fire to rescue a wounded man who was trapped in a trench. Upon reaching the man, he was faced by an armed enemy soldier whom he killed with a pistol. Moving his comrade to safety and returning to his men, he neutralized the final pocket of enemy resistance, established a final line, and reorganized his men, not accepting treatment until this was accomplished, and not consenting to evacuation until the following morning. His supreme valor, inspiring leadership, and heroic self-sacrifice were directly responsible for the company's success and provided a lasting example and personal courage for every man on the field. Sergeant Hooper's actions were in keeping with the highest traditions of the military service and reflect great credit upon himself and the U.S. Army.
Corporal Charles Abril, United States Marine Corps, born in Indiana, Company E, 2nd Battalion, 1st Marine, 1st Parisian Division, Rhine. Korean War, received the Medal of Honor in 1951.
For conspicuous gallantry and intrepidity at the risk of his life above and beyond the call of duty, while serving as a fire team leader in Company E, in action against enemy aggressor forces, while advancing with his platoon in an attack against a well-concealed and heavily fortified enemy hill position, Corporal Abril voluntarily rushed forward through the assaulting squad, which was pinned down by a hail of intense and accurate automatic weapons fire from a hostile bunker situated on commanding ground. Although previously wounded by enemy hand grenade fragments, he proceeded to carry out a bold, single-handed attack against the bunker, exhorting his comrades to follow him. Sustaining 2 additional wounds as he stormed toward the emplacement, he resolutely pulled the pin from a grenade clutched in his hand and hurled himself bodily into the bunker with the live missile still in his grasp. Fatally wounded from the resulting explosion, which killed the entire enemy gun crew within the stronghold, Corporal Abril, by his valiant spirit of self-sacrifice in the face of certain death, served to inspire all of his comrades and contributed directly to the success of his platoon in attaining its objective. His superb courage and heroic initiative sustained and enhanced the highest traditions of the U.S. Naval Service. He gallantly gave his life for his country.
The United States Navy. Seaman David Owlett, United States Navy, born in Massachusetts, was a member of the River Patrol Boat, River Squadron No. 5 in Vietnam. He received the Medal of Honor in 1967.
For conspicuous gallantry and intrepidity at the risk of his life above and beyond the call of duty, as the forward machine gunner on River Patrol Boat PBR 124, which was on patrol during the early evening hours, Seaman Owlett observed suspicious activity near the riverbank, alerted his boat captain, and recommended movement of the boat to the area to investigate. While the PBR was making a high-speed run along the riverbank, Seaman Owlett spotted an incoming enemy grenade falling to the boat. He immediately left the protected position of his gun mount and ran after the full length of the speeding boat, shouting to his fellow crew members to take cover. Observing the boat captain standing unprotected on the boat, Seaman Owlett bounded onto the engine compartment cover and pushed the boat captain down to safety. In the split second that followed the grenade's landing and in the face of certain death, Seaman Owlett fearlessly placed himself between the deadly missile and his shipmates, courageously absorbing most of the blast fragments with his body in order to protect his shipmates from injury and death. His extraordinary heroism and his selfless and courageous actions on behalf of his comrades at the expense of his life were in the finest traditions of the U.S. Naval Service.
The United States Air Force. Chief Master Sergeant Richard Etchberg was born in Pennsylvania, assigned to Detachment 1, the 1043rd Radar Evacuation Squadron during Vietnam War, and received the Medal of Honor in 1968.
For conspicuous gallantry and intrepidity in action at the risk of his life above and beyond the call of duty, Chief Etchberger and his team of technicians were manning a top-secret defensive position at Lima Site 85 when the base was overrun by an enemy ground force, receiving sustained and withering heavy artillery attacks directly upon his unit's position. Chief Etchberger's entire crew lay dead or severely wounded. Despite having received little or no combat training, Chief Etchberger single-handedly held off the enemy with an M16 while simultaneously directing airstrikes into the area and calling for air rescue. Because of his fierce defense and heroic and selfless actions, he was able to deny the enemy access to his position and save the lives of his remaining crew. With the arrival of the rescue aircraft, Chief Etchberger, without hesitation, repeatedly and deliberately risked his own life, exposing himself to heavy enemy fire in order to place three surviving wounded comrades into rescue slings hanging from the hovering helicopter waiting to airlift them to safety. With his remaining crew safely aboard, Chief Etchberger finally climbed into an evacuation sling himself, only to be fatally wounded by enemy ground fire as he was being raised into the aircraft. Chief Etchberger's bravery and determination in the face of persistent enemy fire and overwhelming odds are in keeping with the highest standards of performance and traditions of military service. Chief Etchberger's gallantry, self-sacrifice, and profound concern for his fellow men at risk of his life, above and beyond the call of duty, reflect the highest credit upon himself and the United States Air Force.
The United States Space Force is the newest branch of the armed forces established in December 20th, 2019. The Space Force organizes, trains, and equips space forces in order to protect the United States and allied interests in space and to provide space capabilities to the joint force. It was established within the Department of the Air Force, meaning the Secretary of the Air Force has overall responsibility of the U.S. Space Force under the guidance and direction of the Secretary of Defense. Additionally, a four-star general known as the Chief of Space Operations serves as the senior military member of the United States Space Force and is a member of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. The United States Coast Guard. Signalman First Class Douglas Monroe, United States Coast Guard, born in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. During World War II, he earned the Medal of Honor in 1942.
For extraordinary heroism and conspicuous gallantry in action above and beyond the call of duty as petty officer in charge of a group of 24 Higgins boats engaged in the evacuation of a battalion of Marines trapped by enemy Japanese forces at Point Cruz, Guadalcanal on 27 September 1942. After making preliminary plans for the evacuation of nearly 500 beleaguered Marines, Monroe, under constant strafing by enemy machine guns on the island and at great risk of his life, daringly led five of his small craft toward the shore. As he closed the beach, he signaled the others to land, and then in order to draw the enemy's fire and protect the heavily loaded boats, he valiantly placed his craft with his two small guns as a shield between the beachhead and the Japanese. When the perilous task of evacuation was nearly completed, Monroe was instantly killed by enemy fire, but his crew, two of whom were wounded, carried on until the last boat had loaded and cleared the beach. By his outstanding leadership, expert planning, and dauntless devotion to duty, he and his courageous comrades undoubtedly saved the lives of many who otherwise would have perished. He gallantly gave his life for his country.
In 1915, inspired by the poem In Flanders Fields, vividly describing the final resting place for many of our nation's youth who went from over here to over there, Moyna Michael replied with her own poem, "We cherish too the poppy red that grows on fields where valor led. It seems to signal to the skies that blood of heroes never dies." She then conceived of an idea to wear red poppies on Memorial Day in honor of those who died serving the nation during war. She was the first to wear one and sold poppies to her friends and coworkers with the money going to benefit servicemen in need. Shortly before Memorial Day in 1922, the Veterans of Foreign Wars became the first veterans organization to nationally sell poppies. 2 years later, their Buddy Poppy program was selling artificial poppies made by disabled veterans. The VFW Buddy Poppy Program puts poppies on the breasts of Americans of all ages, of all races, and of all beliefs. It is their way of remembering the sacrifices of our fellow Americans. Our nation will take a long federal holiday weekend. On this day at 3 p.m. local time, we are all asked to voluntarily and informally observe, in your own way, a moment of remembrance and respect for all the men and women who have fought at sea and on foreign shore, pausing from whatever you are doing for a moment of silence or listening to taps.
This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that my Father will give you whatever you ask in him in my name. I am giving you these commandments so that you may love one another.
At the ceremony of retreat, a daily observance at bases during which all personnel pay respect to the flag. The flag is lowered, folded in a triangle, fold, and kept under watch throughout the night as a tribute to our nation's honored dead. The next morning, it is brought out, and at the ceremony of Reveille, run aloft as a symbol of our belief in the resurrection of the body. The first fold of a flag is a symbol of life. The second fold signifies our belief in eternal life. The third fold is made in honor and tribute of the veteran departing our ranks and who gave a portion of his or her life for the defense of our country to attain peace. The fourth fold exemplifies our weaker nature as citizens trusting in God. It is to Him we turn for His divine guidance. The fifth fold is an acknowledgement to our country, for in the words of Stephen Decanter, our country, in dealing with other countries, may she always be right, but it is still our country, right or wrong. The sixth fold is for where our hearts lie. It is with our heart that we pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. The seventh fold is a tribute to our armed forces, for which it is through the armed forces that we protect our country and our flag against all enemies. The eighth fold is a tribute to the one who entered into the valley of the shadow of death, that we might see the light of day and to honor our mother for whom it flies on Mother's Day. The ninth fold is an honor to womanhood, for it has been through their faith, love, loyalty, and devotion that the character of the men and women who have made this country great has been molded. The tenth fold is a tribute to fathers, for he too has given his sons and daughters for the defense of our country since he or she was first born. The 11th fold is the eyes of the Hebrew citizens, represents the lower portion of the seal of King David and King Solomon, and glorifies in their eyes the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The 12th fold, in the eyes of Christian citizens, represents an emblem of eternity and glorifies in their eyes God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The last fold, when the flag is completely folded, the stars are upright, reminding us of our nation's motto, "In God we trust." If you are able, please rise to your feet for the closing of our Memorial Day observance service.